I'm delighted to be speaking today with Nick Lomax, the Cypher Consortium co-lead on data and system monitoring and policy micro-simulation. He's also the Professor of Population Geography at the University of Leeds, and he's going to talk to us today about the recent release of the Cypher Synthetic Population Datasets into the UK Data Services main collection. First of all, I wonder if you can just tell us a bit about the datasets and the importance of them and how significant it is that they're now available for researchers to use.
Hi Roger, well thanks very much for having me on. So we have recently released into the UK Data Service our Cypher Synthetic Population, which is a representative data set of individuals within Great Britain. And what we have done is we've taken Understanding Society survey data and UK census data, and we've created a synthetic data set, which is a digital twin of the population. We're really excited about this data set because, first of all, we've been using it a lot in our own research, but also the utility to the research community, we think, is quite broad. So it gives you a detailed spatial subgroup population which is representative for the whole of GB, and you know it's something that the research community can take and use in all kinds of contexts.
But amazing, really. So you could actually model Great Britain's population and you can test out scenarios like future policies and how they might affect that population. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So what we've got is a data set which is spatially representative to lower super output area or data zone level. And the idea of what we have created is a data set that can be input into all kinds of other models. And certainly we've been using it to do some scenario type work within policy. So examples are you take the representative individual data sets and you feed them into micro-simulation models or agent-based models, and actually you then have a full representative population which can be used for policy analysis. Could probably talk to you about some of the examples that we've been using within our work if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, please do.
So, I mean, some of the key examples that we have been putting together with the synthetic data are it's used in a dynamic model within our consortium. So we're very interested in the health outcomes that exist from changes to policy that are upstream of where those health outcomes might materialize. So there are a whole suite of policies that we can investigate around income and how those income changes affect mental health outcomes, for example. So we're doing some really interesting work with the Scottish Government looking at the effect of increasing child payments for families where there are children present, and also looking at what the effects might be of hitting the targets that they've set for reducing child poverty by 2030. So a couple of examples there where what we can do is we can tweak the income levels for individuals and households, and then we can look at what the impacts are on mental health in that particular case. And we're finding some really clear relationships between improving the income of those families and improvements to mental health, which we're measuring through short form 12 mental component score in that particular case.
How does that work in terms of, just to sort of try and visualise it, how your system works in terms of knowing how a policy might impact them? I don't know if you could help us sort of a way to visualise that kind of process of using data sets in that way to kind of see how it improves people's lives. Yeah.
So I think we're very much focused on working with the policy partners. So we have got the Scottish Government, Public Health Scotland, and we're working with Greater Manchester Combined Authority and Sheffield City Council as well. And a lot of the work that we're doing is driven by the policy agenda that exists within our policy partners. So in the case where there is a particular set of policies where the health outcomes need to be modelled, we're in a position where we've got a synthetic data input, which gives us the status quo. So we've created a data set of individuals, which gives you a good view of the health of particular subgroups of the population, for example. And then what we do is we run those synthetic data through our dynamic models, and we look at the transition probabilities of the change in health state that occurs. So a good example is if you add money to a household through a policy which increases the payments to that household, for example, we know that there are key pathways that improve the mental health of the individuals within that household. So improved neighborhood security, improved housing quality, improved nutrition. The models that we have that actually take as an input the synthetic data, look at the possible scenario outcomes based on the policy change. And of course, then you can start to do all kinds of sensitivity analysis. So looking at the different amounts of money that might improve the outcomes, looking at points at which those policy interventions are cost effective or not cost effective. So there's some really exciting things we can do with the dynamic models that take as input those synthetic data that sit within the UK Data Service.
Wow, so from the other sense, you're with a certain amount of data sets, you'll be able to say this is a status quo at the moment. These are the key areas that sort of reflect the status quo and the different areas of the life, mental health and income. And then with the policy change, which would change some of those situations, the income, it then reflects the difference in mental health as a result of that. Is that how it works?
That's right. So, the key thing that we can do with the synthetic data is that we can start to look at the subgroups in more detail, and we can also look at the spatial variation, which isn't possible. So, we've built the synthetic data using Understanding Society, which is longitudinal data from which we can calculate the probabilities of those outcomes changing if you change, for example, the amount of disposable income that a household has. But the real value of using the synthetic population as an input is, first of all, it's much larger because it's designed to be representative for the GB population. And then you can start to look at what the impact might be across index and multiple deprivation deciles or for particular subgroups, different geographical zones. So that's the value of having a synthetic input rather than having the pure survey input, for example.